Well, guys, week one is in the books, and now that we look back on it...
It wasn't the preseason game that you expected?
Well, it kind of was.
Kind of like the third preseason
right,
game in
exactly.
Detroit.
But should we be surprised that the offense kind of struggled a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, we knew it was young and there was going to be growing pains. But again, you're going against a defense that didn't have its top corner, didn't have its top safety, and I didn't think their big guy, Mario Williams, was the problem. So you should have been able to at least match up and not look so inept, and they did look inept.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. If it was a situation where that talented front four really dominated the game, then I would sit there and say, well, they caused a lot of problems, but it wasn't like that. I thought the Patriots, they weren't under siege the whole day. It wasn't 60 minutes of constant pressure from Buffalo. It was a lack of execution. Guys weren't getting open against a bad secondary. Kembrell Tompkins, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about him a lot, but he was unable to get open against a very average cornerback in Leotis McKelvin. Really, you only had a couple of guys that Brady could rely on, and they struggled.
Well, I'll agree and disagree with you. I'll agree with you on the last part. I'll disagree. I think the Bills' front did cause pressure. I think Brady did a great job avoiding a lot of that pressure.
They had some pressure.
They also disagree schemed. On that.
They also schemed some pressure.
Yeah, they had a couple of
they
blitzes.
They brought Searcy that
however,
just came a runaway rusher.
It is, they did
well, that wasn't the front. That's a defensive
by
back.
By design, they caused problems for Brady, and I think Brady did a good job with what he had to work with. You know, was avoiding that pressure and doing the best he can. Now, I do think when you look at the turnovers, that changed the game. I mean, Brady fumbling at the 1 yard line, Ridley fumbling in the on the way to more points and leading to 7 points for the Bills. I think that just changed the whole tenor of the game. I do agree with you though. I mean, Tompkins looked out of place there, and I think Brady at the end of the game had to rely on the guys he knew.
Yeah, and that was a bigger part of the problem. And another reason why I agree with Andy, I am surprised because I just don't expect the Patriots to turn the ball over. I certainly don't expect Tom Brady to turn the ball over. And I'll give him slack on the interception because that wasn't his fault, but the fumble was, in my opinion. I thought he came away from center a little bit too fast. So that, to me, is not something that you're expecting going into a game. When they have those quarterback sneaks, nobody has been more effective in that situation than Tom Brady. I was looking at that as 7. They come away with nothing and lose the football. So you look at the 3 turnovers at the end of the day, that's atypical of the Patriots offense. I don't care who's playing. Tom Brady was playing. They don't turn the ball over like that.
Except I made a joke of it, but the last 2 competitive quote-unquote games we've seen, the
yeah,
third preseason
right.
game, which is the tune-up, you had all those early turnovers, including some soft fumbles. This game, you had the turnovers, including a soft fumble. You hope that's not a trend moving into the early part of the season here.
Right. That's one of those things that we did not expect going into the season. We did expect, though, that the offense would be going through a transition, and it would take time for them to get up to speed. And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
That's the problem, because the offense didn't look horrific. It didn't look like it couldn't move the ball at all. They struggled. You know, you punch that in, it looks a little differently. You're failing to make plays you need and turning the ball over. That's how you change a game that maybe you could have gotten a nice little 10-point lead into a dogfight and you have to come back to win. But the concern, you're right, is when it crunch time came, Vereen was your guy. Ridley had been benched because of the fumble. Vereen, 159 yards total, I think, first 100-yard rushing game. And then when Brady has to make a drive at the end to win it, it's Vereen, then it's Amendola, then it's back to... Those are the 2 guys he trusted. They're out. Where does he turn that trust?
Right. So someone's going to have to... Somebody that didn't do a lot on Sunday is going to have to do something Thursday because... right now, it's just Julian Edelman. And this is assuming that Vereen and Amendola don't play. And we don't know that for sure. But if they're not able to be out there, they're going to need somebody to help Julian Edelman because he's not the kind of receiver that can take over a game like a Calvin Johnson. It doesn't matter how much attention. If you put attention to stopping him, you're probably going to do it. So they're going to need Tompkins. They might need Aaron Dobson to come back. He was inactive in the game. They're going to need Josh Boyce. And I think Andy brought up something during the week when we were talking on our radio show about his ability to get deep. And maybe, you know, we used to say about how Bill Belichick would say, well, if you force the other team to go 10-12 plays, sooner or later they'll make a mistake. Well, maybe that's true right now with the Patriots offense. If they're forced to go in little chunks the way Tom Brady does so often, maybe eventually a receiver will be out of place and the drive will stall. But Josh Boyce could get it in one big chunk. Maybe you see a big play or two on Thursday night from him.
Well, let's get back to Sunday. Defense. You know, I think you have to be happy with what you saw so far in the defense. Again, still, there's not enough evidence out there to make a, you know, final decision on what the defense is going to be in 2013. But I think it was a good start for the defense.
The best part of it was they clearly targeted C.J. Spiller and said, C.J. Spiller is their best player. He's not going to beat us. And they made sure he didn't. He was 2 yards a carry on the ground. He was 2 yards per touch through the air. They took him out of the game. They forced a fumble. The whole thing. They dominated C.J. Spiller, the best part of that offense. The other side of it, I'm a little,
just another side,
mildly concerned with the 2 touchdown passes. They gave up 2 18-yard touchdown passes. Tlaib and Gregory looked like they weren't quite on the same page on the first one. And then the second one, I thought Stevie Johnson just sort of had his way with Kyle Arrington, and then Devin McCourty wasn't able to come over in time. For a team that gave up 20-plus yard plays last year at an alarming rate, I think it was 74 to lead the league, these weren't 20-plus yard plays, but they were mid-level touchdowns that hurt.
That would have been 20-plus yard plays if
had,
had the end zone not gotten in the way. But I do agree. Defensively, it was okay. But the two things I take away, overwhelmingly positive, you guys talked about, was Spiller. That was clearly what they targeted. And the second part of that was taking the ball away. That's a continuation of what this team, what this defense, has been able to do consistently over the last 3 or 4 years. Good to see them take the ball away a couple more times.
All right, well, things to build on, things to correct for the Jets.
And you got all of 3 days to do it, so...
One area I had some concerns heading into the season was the play at safety. Last year, it was definitely a problem, and the Patriots really didn't do a whole lot to shore up that spot in the offseason. They brought in Adrian Wilson. He got hurt, so he's not part of the equation. But I thought for 1 week, Devin McCourty and Steve Gregory looked pretty solid in Buffalo. Gregory especially, I thought, did exactly what you want out of your safety. Prevented big plays. I thought he made 9 tackles. A couple of those prevented some really big plays from happening. He came up. He was sure with his angles. That's exactly the type of play you want. It wasn't perfect. There were a couple of miscommunications on both parts. But overall, I thought the safety play was pretty good. Last week, I talked a little bit about kickoff returns in the absence of Leon Washington. And sure enough, Leon Washington is back. And I do expect him to be back deep returning the kicks. But more importantly, this week, he provides insurance for Shane Vereen. Vereen looks like he's going to be out for a little bit with that wrist problem. But it really shouldn't be a problem at all for the Patriots offense, because Washington is a guy who has already been here. He's been here all summer. He knows the offense. Tom Brady has confidence in him. It's almost like an extra security blanket. I expect to see Washington coming out of the backfield, catching some of those short throws that Vereen did last week. Should be a good situation for the offense. There's no real way around this. Stephen Ridley has to find a way to hold on to the football a little bit more regularly than he has in the past. He's going to have an opportunity this week. Vereen is going to be out. He's going to get a chance to get a lot of carries. Bill Belichick benched him last week. He's not really going to have much of a choice but to go with him against the Jets. And I think this is a good situation for him, because the best medicine here is to get right back out there, get right back on the horse, make sure you're running tough in between the tackles. Don't change your style. I like Stephen Ridley in this game, and I like the idea of him getting right back into the mix against the tough Jets front.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
How do you? Yeah, knock the mic away. I'm holding it high and tight. I'm holding it high and tight.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week this week, and it's all playmakers. Here's Julian Edelman celebrating his first touchdown. He had 2. Kyle Arrington is making plays all over the field. And finally, what can you say about Danny Amendola?
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Patriots cornerback Kyle Arrington with us this week, coming off a solid performance for the defense overall. How had to feel good about that?
It was one of those things where, you know, first game of the year, you want to come out, set high standards for yourself. So, you know, it wasn't perfect. I guess that's been the, to go by, you know, this game, you know, it was ugly, wasn't perfect, but I mean, you know, a win is a good win.
Yeah, and we know playing for this coach, you're not going to have a perfect performance no matter what, but you were able to be involved in a couple of turnovers, a couple of strips, and almost come up with an interception as well. Talk to me about the two takeaways. I know that's something that Coach Belichick mm-hmm. preaches a lot during training camp. You guys do a lot of drills with that. Mm-hmm. Is that something that comes natural to you?
A lot of drills. Like I just said, we work on that at the beginning of practice, in the middle of practice, in the end of practice, you know, turnover drills, takeaway drills. So it's just at some point just became muscle memory.
It looked like C.J. Spiller was a guy that, not just you, but all the defensive backs, all the players really were around the ball. Is that something you noticed on film that maybe he was a little loose with it?
I mean, that's just us in general. You know, you have some guys, specific guys you point out during the week. You want to emphasize as far as, you know, he's a guy you can really get the ball off of. But, I mean, in general, we definitely just try to, you know, First, you want to ensure the tackle. Make sure you get ensured the tackle.
Right.
Normally, second man comes and strips the ball, but I was, you know, fortunate enough to just make a play on it.
Now let's go through this a little bit, because we see you guys all the time in training camp. Is there an art to it? Is this, now take the microphone away from me. Knock the mic away. I'm holding it high and tight. I'm holding it high and tight.
Can I stay here? So I'm at this point.
You come this way.
I'm ensuring the tackle with this arm. Now don't come and knock the mic. I'm underneath you with this left arm.
All right, that makes sense.
If you keep it high and tight, it might not work though.
I've been watching Tiki Barber. You know, he used to fumble all the time, and then he told me high and tight. Like, you know, like that's the cure-all. If you hold it high and tight, you can never fumble.
Good technique. That was pretty good technique though, on your part.
The interception, the near interception, mm-hmm. did you ever think you had it, or in just trying to like play it out, or you know, did you know all
it was,
along?
It was a bang-bang play, at least in real time it felt like. So I said, hey, if I can get away with it, why not? I tried to sell it, but... they keep replaying everything, man. So, I mean, you can't get away with anything now in this league.
Now, short week, obviously, but another division mm-hmm. opponent coming in with the New York Jets. How has the preparation been for them? I assume that you guys started this, a little bit in the preseason as well, but enough time mm-hmm. to get ready?
Definitely, like you said, definitely short week. Things kind of crammed a little bit, but that's... card we've been dealt, and you know, the Jets are the same situation, so it's, you know, levels of playing field. So but you know, a lot of more of a mental day, try to get guys bodies back, just try to prepare and do as much homework as we can.
Do the players like playing in those different kind of games, a Thursday night game, or is it something the media just likes? They wish they were all Sunday at 1. Do the players just kind of wish you could play at the same time all the time?
I mean, especially when it's prime time, everybody, you know, no matter how you're feeling, what the case is, if you can go, you're going to be ready.
Short week as we turn the page here to the Jets. One place I'd like to see the Patriots improve is in the pass rush, and that means Chandler Jones, Tommy Kelly. Both guys were beasts in the preseason. Tough matchup this week. For Jones, it's DeBrickashaw Ferguson, the Jets' left tackle, and for Tommy Kelly, it's Nick Mangold, maybe the best center in football. It's a rookie quarterback. It's an athletic quarterback. I know you need a controlled rush, but that doesn't mean you can't get some pressure. It's up to Kelly and Jones this week in tough battles. We're going to stick with the trenches here, flip it to the other side of the football, and for the Jets, the biggest name is Muhammad Wilkerson, the young defensive tackle. If you're a Patriots fan, think of Richard Seymour 2.0. He plays that 3-4 end spot. He's big. He's athletic. He's disruptive. 90 tackles last year. He had forced fumbles. He had 5 sacks, fumble recoveries. He has all the big play type numbers. He is the best player on that defense now that Darrelle Revis is gone. Patriots offensive line has been shaky at times early in the year. They need to make sure Wilkerson doesn't ruin a football game. Sticking with the defensive side of the football, we'll move to the secondary. Number one cornerback, Aqib Talib. But who will he match up against? Who is the Jets' number one weapon? They don't have a ton of options. Could fall to Stephen Hill, the young big play receiver trying to work his way into a relationship with Geno Smith. He has the ability to get down the field and make plays. That was a problem on one occasion last week for Talib. Gave up the touchdown with a miscommunication with Steve Gregory. Can't happen as the Patriots' offense struggles to be consistent and score points. Defense needs to step up in the back end. That means Talib must keep Hill from making too many plays.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I didn't see a good offense on Sunday. I'm sorry. I don't think they could win a shootout with somebody with a water pistol right now.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
All right, week one in the NFL is in the books. What did we learn? Well, if you're a Bills fan, you learn that maybe things aren't so bad after all. First-year quarterback E.J. Manuel had 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating well over 100. Things are good there, and I think you should be hopeful if you're a Bills fan. Now, their head coach, Doug Marrone, is another thing. He was widely criticized for not milking the clock enough at the end of the game and allowing the Patriots back in it. I disagree. He stayed aggressive, went for first downs. That's what I want to see in my coach.
Have you heard the latest one about the Washington Redskins? Doesn't have anything to do with RG3 or Mike Shanahan or anything else on the field. It's about the name Redskins. You can't use it anymore. Some of the national guys like Peter King, Bill Simmons, they won't use the term Redskins. It's now going to be the Washington Football Team. What a bunch of crap this is. For one time, I agree with Daniel Snyder, who vows I'm never going to change the nickname of this team as long as I own it. And I think he's doing the right thing. This stuff has to stop. King, Simmons, don't call them the Vikings anymore. Don't call them the Patriots. That's offensive to everybody. Find another cause.
We got our first taste of Chip Kelly's college offense in the NFL this week on Monday Night Football. I liked what I saw. It was fast-paced. It made plays. It turned the players into playmakers more so than they've been in recent years. It looks like DeSean Jackson's going to love it. It looks like LeSean McCoy's going to love it. Even Michael Vick is going to love it. They ran out of gas. They ran 53 plays in the first half, scored a bunch of points, held on for the victory. I know two things about Chip Kelly's new offense. I don't know if it'll work, and I'll be rooting for it. I love nonconformists. I was on Steve Spurrier's bandwagon. That failed miserably, played too much golf. Chip Kelly, I'm pulling for you.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Just 1 week into the season, are you more concerned about the Patriots' receivers than you were before the start of the year?
I don't know how any sane-minded observer cannot be more worried today than what they were a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, we had Danny Amendola making plays, and he was healthy, and we had Kenbrell Tompkins looking like the most consistent of the rookies. Flash forward to this Sunday, we have Danny Amendola limping around on a bad groin, admittedly making plays, but it looks like he's not going to be able to play now for a little bit, and Kenbrell Tompkins looking like the spot was just too big for him, and no one else did anything. So now you're comfortable with just Julian Edelman making plays to you.
Well, I don't know why you have to call me names. I mean, I am not any more worried than I was before the start of the season.
So you were terrified to start the year.
I wasn't as high on everybody else, high on the rookies as everybody else was, I'll say that. But here's the thing. I didn't expect it to be perfect in week one. There's a long way to go. If it looks like it did on Sunday, say in week 9 or week 10, then I'll sit there and I'll wave the white flag and I'll give you the victory. Right now, I expect Tompkins to be a better player. He got his feet wet. He looked like an undrafted rookie on Sunday. He looked a little bit scared, as you said, not ready for the moment. I think he'll be better than that. I think Aaron Dobson wasn't part of that equation. I expect him to make some plays. And Tom Brady, quite frankly, is going to have to live with some of these growing pains. He's going to have to get these guys involved. Josh Boyce is another one, didn't have a lot of opportunity. Injuries are a problem, no doubt about it.
But while he's living through the growing pains, it means you're not good. It means you're not good as you expect to be or good as you need to be potentially for a shootout. I had people like you telling me it's Tom Brady. Somebody's going to catch the ball. This offense will be good. I didn't see a good offense on Sunday. I'm sorry. I saw an offense that is lucky that in week two, it's facing another bad offense with the New York Jets. I don't think they could win a shootout with somebody with a water pistol right now. They are not a very good offense. And the two best players from that offense look like they've been removed from the equation. So, yes, I'm terrified of this offense right now.
Well, I am not more concerned because I still see some talent, and I saw Tom Brady throw the ball just as well as he ever has.
Yeah, sub 50% looked great.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink pop. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama. Now through October 13th, buy a set of 4 Yokohama tires and receive a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. Details in store. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, time for your questions again at askpfw@patriots.com. Guys, you ready for the questions?
Always.
And when is the Wilson Hart Power Index coming out?
After 4 weeks. You know this, now you're just mocking it. Okay. Read the email.
After 4 weeks. And is there a reason why we wait 4 weeks?
No. Because we let things play themselves out a little.
I'm not
Do you
really
want
interested.
Me to do an index where the Patriots aren't ranked very highly because they didn't play well on opening day?
Okay, I'm not interested.
He ran out of darts.
All right, this first question comes to us from Ron Kaplov. He says, what's the status
of Ron Kaplov?
That's what his name is. What is the status of
Kaplove?
Yes. What is the status of Armin Armstead?
He is on NFI, where I stands for illness this time, and he is not available for the first 6 weeks. And other than that, we know he had an infection, and the timetable was not set for his return to football.
Have we seen him around?
I have not seen him.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Right. Last time I saw him, he looked fine. That was pre-infection.
Right, that was a long time ago. A lot has happened since then. Pat Mackey writes in light of Vereen's injury and the fact that Bolden was on the injury report this week, is it possible we might bring back George Wynn?
Listen, I don't rule anything out when it comes to Bill Belichick. I'd be surprised, though. I think they have Leon Washington to sort of play the role of Shane Vereen. I think that's something we talked about earlier in the show, and it makes a lot of sense. He's a guy that was here all summer, so he knows the offense. George Wynn, I think, he had a nice little preseason. I thought he really flashed in that last preseason game. I'm not sure that he, right now, maybe more injuries down the road. You get him back on the practice squad, get him some. I like the way he ran. He ran hard, ran tough. Not sure he's part of the future right now, though.
All right. Graham in Toronto sends us the next question. Close call on Sunday. He says, what's the status of Aaron Dobson? Was he not dressed on Sunday? And also, can we please let LeGarrette Blount kick return experiment end?
Well, I agree with the last part because I thought Blount looked slow. They need to find a kick returner. I don't know if that's Leon Washington when he gets healthy. That's obviously a role he did very well with Seattle last year, led the NFC. But on the other aspect, Dobson was inactive. He was on the injury report with a hamstring and then was listed as inactive. So you are led to assume that he's nicked up and it's going to take him a little while to get his debut.
And the problem with hamstring, you just don't know the severity of it. Different guys heal different rates.
Especially for the skilled guys. The speed guys, wide receivers. Troy Brown talked about it over the weekend. Guys that make a living with their legs, you get leg injuries like Amendola and Dobson. It could be really damaging.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's questions. Again, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.